On today's program, Andrew Womack will inspire you to reach out and take the healing that is yours in Jesus Christ. God wants you well, and that's the gospel truth. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the gospel truth. Today is the end of my fifth week of teaching on God wants you well, and I'm not going to be through with it today, so we're even going to go into next week sharing on some of these truths. And I tell you again, I've said this often, but I'm really excited about this series because there's not a lot of people that are adamant about God wanting you well. You know, nearly any person believes that God can heal. I mean, if He's God, He can do whatever He wants to. And so people will say sometimes that, you know, God can heal. Now, there's a small segment in the body of Christ that absolutely teaches that, no, God wants you sick. But that's really not the majority of people. Even people with casual commitments, even people that aren't born again, when they get in a desperate situation, will pray and hope that God heals them. But there isn't much assurance that God will heal you. And I really believe that that's one of the things that is an absolute necessity in order for you to receive healing, is to know that not only can God heal you, but God wants you well. And then you can even go a step beyond that and say, God has already healed you and placed that power on the inside and has given you the authority and the power to release it. Boy, these are radical statements. You know, I was talking to a pastor not long ago, and he was basically just saying, you're too radical. He said he would never say those things. And I said, well, you know what? You can say what you want to, but it's the people who are radical about healing that get healings. People who just believe God can heal, but they have no assurance that He will, don't see many healings. I mean, you might get a healing sometime or another, some minor thing. You know, an old blind squirrel come up with a nut every once in a while, amen. And so you might stumble into healing. But I mean, people who live in health and people who minister healing to others and have healing ministries, every one of them has to be radical. You can't compromise on this issue. It says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, it says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. Now, see, that says there that if you know that you've asked according to His will, you know that He hears us. And if you know that He hears us, then you know you have the petition. And see, this is where a lot of people say, but that's it. You just can't know. How do you know God's will? God's Word is His will. And I have spent 5 weeks trying to show from Scripture that it is God's will for people to be well. And I tell you, there has been an attack on the Word of God by people who already have a predisposition, a prejudice against healing, to try and talk you out of it. But I have used Jesus as an example, that Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, He never made a person sick. He never refused to heal a person. He never put sickness on a person because God was trying to teach them something. And so we've dispelled a lot of that stuff because Jesus is the perfect representation of God. I talked against Paul's thorn in the flesh. Religion has taken that and perverted it to make it where he had some sickness and disease that God wouldn't heal. And that is not what the Scriptures teach. That is completely opposite what the Scriptures teach. And so I've just done everything I can to show from God's Word that God wants you well. And what I've been dealing with this week is that there are laws that govern how healing works. It's really not up to God whether you get healed. God has already provided healing. He has placed the same power that raised Jesus from the dead on the inside of every born-again believer. But whether or not it gets out and manifests healing or not is not up to God. It's up to you, whether you learn the laws that govern how faith works. Now, that's a radical statement, and that really goes contrary to most religious teaching today, and I'm aware that it's different, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. Again, I've used this logic before, and I'm not saying this in a self-promoting way at all, but I'm just trying to get people who would reject this to accept it. But you know what? I'm seeing results that most people don't see. I've seen my own son raised from the dead. I've seen three people raised from the dead. I've had supernatural healing work in my life. You know, just this week I had something hit me that I don't know what it was. I don't care to know what it was. But I mean, I got so weak I broke out in a cold sweat. I was dizzy. I nearly passed out. And it was in the middle of the night. I actually woke up so I could go to the bathroom. And all of this just hit me in 5 minutes' time. And I nearly passed out. And I was so sleepy that I didn't do anything at first. But when I finally realized this, it was not normal. You know what? I stood and I spoke. And in 5 minutes, I was back to normal. And it may have lasted 10 or 15 minutes maximum. And I was back to normal. You know what? I'm saying that I have things come against me, but I get supernatural results. And many of you don't agree with me doctrinally, and you criticize this, and yet look at the results that you get. You're sick all of the time. If something was to hit you in the middle of the night, and if you got, extreme pain and broke out in a cold sweat and nearly passed out, I guarantee you it'd be affecting you for weeks or months, and it lasted for 5 minutes with me. Until you're getting better results than I get, then praise God, maybe you ought to consider that there's a better way to look at this. And you may think I'm radical, but I think you're pretty tame. Amen. And I would recommend being radical. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 5. And what I want to do is use an example of healing that's recorded in the Gospels. And I just want to show you some of the laws that govern faith. That's what I've been talking about all week long. And in Mark chapter 5, in verse 25, it says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment, for she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?' And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" Now, this is a great passage of Scripture, and there is a lot in these passages. I'm going to have to go into this next week to talk about a lot of this. But let me just point out something. Most people, when they read this, they believe that since Jesus was God, that he knew all things, that he knew who touched him. And when he turned around and he says, "Who touched my clothes?" that this was a rhetorical question, that of course he knew everything. He knew who had touched him. And so they just believe that he wasn't serious when he said this. He was just giving this woman an opportunity to respond. But you know what? I don't believe that that's so. This is hard for some people to grab hold of. But when Jesus was born, he was Lord at his birth. The angels, when they sang, to the shepherds, they said, "Come see Christ, the Lord." He was Lord when he was born. At a little one-day-old baby, he was God in the flesh. But he was also flesh. And his body had to grow. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus grew in his physical, and he grew also mentally. Jesus did not come out of the womb knowing how to speak Hebrew. He did not come out of the womb able to control his bowels on the first day of his birth. He wasn't able to walk. He had to learn to crawl and walk and eat and coordinate just like everybody else. And even though I believe that Jesus was God in the Spirit, he also had a physical body. It was a sinless physical body, but nonetheless it was physical, and it had to grow and increase in wisdom and in stature. Notice it says in wisdom, not just in stature, but in wisdom. His physical brain had to be educated. And I believe that when Jesus turned around and says, "Who touched my clothes?" that this was not a rhetorical question. This was not something that he was just saying to give this woman an opportunity to come forth. I believe he wanted to know. He did not know who touched him. And he wanted to know who touched him. Now, when this woman wasn't forthcoming, and there's reasons for that, because according to the Old Testament law, a person with an issue of blood was unclean. And if they touched any person, the person they touched became unclean. If they sat on anything, what they sat on became unclean. And so because of these rituals of cleansing and things like that, a person in the Old Testament who was unclean had to yell. If they were in public, they had to yell unclean to give people warning so that they could get out of the way and that they wouldn't become defiled by them. And so for this woman to be in this huge crowd, she's bound to have touched a lot of people. And if she made known what her problem was, that she was unclean through an issue of blood, she could have literally been stoned to death. And so I believe that that's the reason that she was hesitant in coming forth and telling exactly what the situation was. But Jesus, when he felt this virtue, and you know, I could spend a lot of time talking about this. Most people have not felt the anointing and the virtue of God flow through them, but you can. You can actually put the power of God into a piece of cloth, Acts 19:11. It's tangible. You can feel the power of God. And Jesus felt virtue go out of him, and he knew that somebody had touched him. Of course, his disciple says, Master, everybody's touching you. The multitude is thronging you. This word throng means that they weren't just bumping into him casually. No, they were reaching out specifically to touch him, trying to get the virtue out of him. But those people weren't touching in faith. Now, see, this is another great example of what I'm talking about, the laws that govern faith. And if you've watched these programs, you'll remember that I've been using electricity as kind of an example of this. In the natural, there's a law of electricity, and in the spiritual, there are laws that govern healing. You know, some people can touch a wire and it doesn't do anything because they aren't grounded. For instance, you know, if you see birds sitting on electrical wires, those birds can sit there and then fly off and they don't get electrocuted. Why? Because they aren't grounded. And yet a person could climb that pole and be holding onto the pole and reach over and touch the exact same wire that the bird is sitting on, and it would electrocute you and probably kill you because you're grounded through that pole. There are laws that govern why electricity flows to some people and why it doesn't to others. It's not the electric company that just picks and chooses and says, you know what, I don't like this person, so we're going to electrocute them and let them die. This other person, we like them and they didn't mean to do this, so we're going to let them live. No, it's nothing personal like that. There are just laws that govern how this electricity flows. Likewise, there are laws that govern how the power and the virtue of God flows. There were people touching Jesus, not just casually, but they were reaching out, trying to get the power, and yet the power wouldn't flow through them because they weren't in faith. But when this woman touched him, you know, later he says, Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Not my faith, but your faith. This woman was operating in such strong faith that when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, boom, like that, power flowed, because there are laws that control how the anointing of God flows. You know, I've heard some people teach on this recently that go into the Jewish customs of the prayer shawl and the hem on the prayer shawl, and how that this is actually what she was touching, and that by doing this she was laying hold of all of the promises. And you know what? I'm not educated enough to really say yay or nay, but I think that sometimes people get into these traditions and things that are extra biblical, which there are people who criticize me and say, well, there's truths that exist outside of the Bible. Well, there, you know, I guess there are. I guess cell phones aren't necessarily explained in the Bible, and yet I use them, and television and stuff. But you know what? I just don't base doctrines, and I don't preach things that are outside of the Bible. I am hesitant to go into Jewish traditions that don't even go back all the way to the time that the Bible was written. They're newer Jewish traditions, and people draw all these analogies from them, and they're making good points. I'm not saying that I'm 100% against it, but I'm saying that they're missing. They're missing, to me, one of the greatest points of this whole thing, and this is that there's lots of people that touch Jesus, but only one person touched him in faith. And when you touch him in faith and are grounded in faith, the power of God will flow and miracles will happen. Just like when a person touches a live wire, and if they're grounded, that power flows. And here's the point that the first point that I was trying to get across out of this parable. When Jesus said, "Who touched me?" He didn't know who had touched him. And this says volumes to me. Because again, a concept I'm trying to get across is that it's not up to God whether you get healed. Jesus has already purchased your healing. He has already placed within you the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He's done his part. Now you have to, in a sense, connect the wires, make the connection, and let this power that God placed on the inside of you flow out. You've got to discover what these laws are. And I think that this illustrates this greatly because Jesus, see, didn't size up this woman. He didn't see her coming. Through his infinite foreknowledge, he didn't sit down and say, this woman has suffered for 12 years. She is really taking a risk coming out in public and touching people. She could have been stoned to death because she's ceremonial unclean. And he didn't do any of these things and saying, I'm just so impressed. I think I'll let this power flow through me. No, she touched him, and without him even knowing who it was that touched him, if he didn't know who it was that touched him, he certainly didn't know how holy she was or how unholy or any of these other things about her. This power just flowed because there are laws. You pick up a live wire and the electric company doesn't have to look at you and figure out whether they should or shouldn't let you die. There are just laws that govern how electricity flows, and that electricity will flow through you and kill you if you're grounded. It's just laws that govern it. There are laws that govern the healing power of God. And this is an example of those laws. The power of God just flowed through Jesus. Now, he discerned the power flowing. He was sensitive to that and recognized that there was virtue that went out of him, but he didn't know who had touched him. Therefore, he didn't personally make a decision about this person is worthy and this person is unworthy. Boy, to me, that's important. This is tremendous. And I know that there are some of you watching this television program that you've prayed either for yourself or for somebody else. Maybe you've prayed for somebody who died and you really believe that it was God's will for them to be well. You did everything you knew and yet you didn't get the right results and you're tempted to be hurt, to be offended. You know, I've seen people that it's not just the fact that they lost somebody they loved. I mean, that's bad, and I understand that you have to deal with that. But, you know, if the person you loved was to be killed in a car wreck and it was just something that accidentally happened and you don't feel any responsibility for it, you weren't even there, it just happened, yes, you would miss them, and yes, you would have to draw on the power of God to be able to deal with the hurt and the rejection and the grief and things like this, but you could do it. But when it's somebody who's been sick and you have put your faith out there and you've spoken in the name of Jesus, you're well, and you have believed, and then they die, not only do you have to deal with all of the things that would go along with like losing a person in a car wreck, but now you have to deal with God. I prayed. I felt sure that this was you telling me it was your will for them to be well and it didn't come to pass. And now you're dealing with what did I do wrong? I fail. God, were you displeased with me? And that's what makes it so hurtful. That's what makes it so hard for people to deal with. And I'm telling you that it's not personal. It's not God who refused to heal a person. There are laws that govern how the power of God flows, and if you don't know these laws, then by default, through ignorance, you aren't going to see the power of God come to pass. You aren't going to see healing manifest in that person. And this has answered a lot of questions for me. You know, I've mentioned on this program before, but there was a girl that I was unofficially engaged to. I wasn't officially engaged, but we were close. We had dated. Her parents told the Red Cross that we were engaged, and I got an emergency leave from Vietnam and came home, and I was with her when she died. And we prayed, and we tried to believe for her to be healed. Matter of fact, we were so adamant about it. It wasn't just a belief that God could heal. We believed God wanted her well. And we stood, and after she died, we stayed in the hotel room for 2 hours praying and expecting her to be raised up to the point that the doctors finally came and threatened to call the police and got us out of there. And at her funeral, we were still thinking that maybe she'll be raised at the funeral. It didn't come to pass. And you know what? I had the temptation, just like every single person who's sitting here and thinking, you know, against what I'm teaching, that God always wants you to be well. I've had all of the thoughts, all of the feelings that you went through, but one of the things that helped me, I didn't have it as refined as what I've got today, but I just knew that it wasn't God who failed, that there were reasons. It was like laws. Somehow or another, we didn't make a connection. Somehow or another, we didn't understand something. Somehow or another, we must have cooperated with the devil. And of course, in hindsight, now, this has been 40-something years ago, I can show you dozens of things that we did wrong. For one thing, this girl actually prayed and asked God to give her cancer and let her die. You think, why would anybody do that? Because of the religious teaching that we were under and stuff like that. And anyway, I could give you bunches of reasons why all this happened. But at the time, I didn't know a single thing. At the time, I did everything I knew to do. And as far as I knew, her and her family did everything. We were believing God to the best of our ability. But praise God, I knew enough to know that God didn't fail. And I remember, as we discussed it after the funeral, and we were talking about it, I said, this wasn't God's will. Everybody else said, oh, no, it must be God's will. We must have missed it. God doesn't heal every time, or this girl would have been healed. And I said, no, that's not true. It wasn't God's will. And they said, what are you saying? Are you saying that God doesn't control everything? Are you saying that God isn't sovereign? Are you saying that the devil beat God? And I said, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just saying that God didn't will for her to die. That wasn't God's will. And there was a rift in relationship because people thought that I was somehow or another impugning the character of God. It wasn't that way at all. I was just, without understanding it, saying that there must be laws. There are reasons, things that you just have to cooperate. There's certain things that you have to do, and we fail to do them. It's not God who caused this girl to die. And you know what? This has become a truth that it took me about 3 years after that experience I just described before I begin to understand some of these laws that govern healing and how it worked. But you know what? Praise God. That knowledge kept me going, and it kept me from getting bitter and just stopping. You know, most of the people, or many of the people that were involved with that instance I talked about today, they're still at the same place spiritually. It's like they just stopped their spiritual growth because, after all, they tried and it wasn't God's will. And you never know what God's going to do, and so they just basically haven't moved on. I'm telling you, this will make a huge difference in your life if you begin to understand that God wants you well. There are laws that govern whether His healing power flows or not. And I'm going to continue to talk about this on our program next week. We're out of time today, but I do encourage you to listen to our announcer. He's going to give you information about how you can get all of these teaching materials that we have on the subject of healing.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, God Wants You Well, is available in a brand new book for a gift of $14 or more. Request book number T330 when you contact us. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T430. The entire series is also available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is available for a gift of $30 or more. Request item T1036C for the CDs or item T1036D for the DVDs. Or you can receive the book, study guide, and album as part of the Better Healthcare Package. The package includes your choice of either the CD or DVD series, the new God Wants You Well book, along with a companion study guide, plus Healing Journeys Volume 1 and Volume 2, and the Healing Scriptures CD. The entire package has a catalog value of $136, but today we'd like to offer it to you for a gift of $100 or more. To get the Better Healthcare Package, request item T4505. Be sure to specify CD or DVD.
The fourth teaching in the God Wants You Well CD series titled The Laws of Faith is available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, I'd like to encourage you to consider our Charis Bible College. I know that the things that I'm teaching are just radically different than what many people think, and they think, man, there's just so much that I need to know. And you know, really, the best way that I have of impacting a person's life is our Charis Bible College. We not only have our campus here in Colorado Springs, but we have about 15 campuses around the world. And we just opened up an online Bible school where you actually go through as a group. You have things that you interact with instructors, and it's a great way to get hold of the Word of God. We've got a phone number that you can call. Please call and check out about our Charis Bible Colleges.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth seminar this week, May 13th through the 15th, and in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp, May 28th through the 31st, and in Woodland Park, Colorado, June 26th for the Pikes Peak Christian Artist Festival. He'll also be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd, in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a Gospel Truth Seminar, July 15th through the 17th, and in Durant, Oklahoma, July 28th through the 30th.
It's our premier event of the year, the 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Join us Monday, June 28th through Friday, July 2nd at the beautiful Crown Plaza Hotel for an experience you'll never forget. Morning speakers include Charis Bible College instructors, and Andrew Womack will be teaching each evening. Praise and worship with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc. A full children's ministry and so much more. Bring the family and enjoy Colorado. For reservations and more info, log on to awmi.net and click on Meetings. The 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd.